Welcome to the Eternal ROI Podcast, where we share the real stories of workplace transformation. And now, here are your hosts, Will Stewart and Chris Patton.
Hello and welcome to the Eternal ROI Podcast. So glad to have each and every one of you listening and watching along. This is the first episode, the inaugural episode.
Number one.
Yeah, the Eternal ROI Podcast. So excited to just start this with you. For those who don't know, I'm Will Stewart, joined by Chris Patton, who's the CEO of His Way at Work.
Absolutely. Glad to be here. Excited about what this is going to do and what God's going to do through it. So this is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think it really will be. We've talked about this for months. Yeah. It's good to finally just start recording.
Stop talking about it.
I hate talking about things. Let's do.
Yeah.
So, for those who are going to be listening, what's the purpose of this podcast? There's 1,000 podcasts in the world.
Sure.
At least.
Yeah.
Why this one?
Well, for me, Will, on my heart is the idea that there are so many business leaders out there, business leaders that have not yet come out of college, that are in just starting their career or to think about it, all the way through business leaders who may be owner of a company, maybe in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. Really doesn't matter as far as age goes. I've talked to all sorts, all ages. But they have one thing in common that is unfortunate, and that is a mindset that their business is what they do Monday to Friday, Monday to Saturday. Their faith is what they do on Sunday. Yeah. Not that they don't live moral or principled or even spiritual values through the week, but they feel like they've got to do their faith on Sundays, maybe Wednesday nights, depending on your church. But through the week, it's separate. I grew up being told or at least being taught passively that you keep business separate from politics, religion, and SEC football, right? Those just don't mix.
It's true, yeah.
And the truth is, there is no sacred and secular divide in Scripture.
Yeah.
It is all sacred. It is all spiritual. And so when we go into our jobs, the marketplace, education, medicine, it doesn't matter, government even, we are going in as disciples of Christ. Yeah. We have the Great Commission behind us saying, go and make disciples. And I want to share from my experience, but also with our guests, how that's being done in the marketplace every day.
Yeah.
Because in many cases, and I was one, I'll share with you a little later, I was one who did not see that I could do my business and do it exceptionally well and drive it hard while ministering to and loving on the people around me with an intentional purpose of pointing them to God.
I think there's a lot of CEOs like you were, who have a good heart.
Absolutely.
You know? But you're right. We're absolutely taught that, you know, as soon as you leave the church doors, you know, you put all that aside and you put on your business hat. And you be a businessman who has values. Obviously, you want to be. You don't want to cheat people. You know,
that's right.
Don't bring shame to your mama. But then that's it.
And that's
where it ends.
Lest anybody think this is about indicting the pastors and those that are not teaching it well. They're never taught as a pastor how to speak to someone in business.
Yeah.
And you think, well, that's kind of goofy. They're just people. Well, they're people that speak a different language.
It's true.
They're people whose minds are wired differently. Their mind is wired toward action, right? Getting things done, accomplishing. And the pastors are not, as a whole, there are exceptions certainly, but they're not, as a whole, speaking to these business leaders and communicating to them what their role is in the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Their role, not for the sake of the dollar itself, but their role in most cases is being told to them as you make money, you give, you tithe, you support
tithe.
The church,
yeah.
do business morally and ethically correctly and with the right principles, but do your business and then serve in the church. and give.
Usually as the treasurer or Sunday school
teacher. On the finance committee,
yeah, right?
Right?
Yeah,
exactly. And the CEO or the business leader says, I've got more horsepower than that.
Yeah.
And I see a disconnect because when I show up Sunday, I'm not hearing things in my language. I'm not hearing how I can bring value aside from those two specific ways. And I want to share with those leaders, there is so much more. God has given you specific talents and skills and resources and influence to be leveraged for eternal ROI.
Yeah, 100%. And this podcast is a challenge.
Yes.
And it's an encouragement for those CEOs and business leaders who want to make a difference.
Because we're going to host one after another that are actually doing it right now.
Yeah.
And how they're doing it. So it's not just, you know, it's not just in the cloud. It's not just in theory. We want to really dig into the how-to, into the practical, into the day-to-day. What does it look like in a business on Monday morning? What does it look like when a crisis hits? What does it look like when there's business, the business environment is being challenged? How do you do these things? How do you do them legally?
Yeah.
How do you do them without offending? I mean, it's just a huge topic.
It really
is.
And
we're going to be able to dive into it with some, you know, we're kind of the host. And I've been through it myself, but we're going to bring in some day-to-day people that are doing it right now that are the experts, and it's going to be fun to listen to them.
Oh, absolutely. Which I love about that is you get inspirational stories of people whose lives have been changed. And we talk to these people, you know, I've heard the stories when you and I worked on some other projects of these amazing things that they've been able to do. But not only do we get those inspirational stories, you get the practical meat and taters.
Yes.
This is how you do it. Yeah. This is the step.
Exactly.
And that's what I think a lot of business owners are looking for. You know, the heart's there.
That's right.
For a lot of Christian business owners, they want to make a difference in their community.
If we're successful with this, if this hits the mark that we believe God's put on our heart to hit, then listeners, audience members walk away from this with action steps.
Yep.
And they know there's something they can go do.
Yep.
Now, they may not have it all figured out. In fact, in 90% of the cases, they won't. And if they think they do, they need to kind of check themselves. It's not all figured out.
Yeah.
But we're going to give them ways to go out and make a difference right off the bat. And that's what I'm excited about.
Oh, I'm so excited. Yeah. It's going to be great.
It's very cool.
So for those who don't know you, let's talk a little bit about your story. You started in Georgia, right?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. Actually, I was born in South Carolina.
Okay.
And moved to Georgia when I was 3 years old. And or just shy of, and was in a family business, grew up in a family business. My grandfather started it back in 62 in the car business in Rock Hill, South Carolina, with a Volkswagen store.
Okay.
And in 73, when I was almost 3 years old, my dad, myself, and my mom, and my little brother at the time, who was about, I think he was about 6 months old, we moved to Georgia.
Mm.
And from 73 through, well, almost the rest of my life up to this point, we were in Georgia, in LaGrange, Georgia, about an hour south of Atlanta, in the car business. And my dad had Volkswagen at first back in 73, and then over the next, 25-plus years, built an organization with some phenomenal people. Just fortunate. Number one, my dad had a very solid faith coming from his dad, which was fantastic, and he passed that to me and to my brothers, but also just ran a business from a standpoint of, I'm going to run it on biblical principles. Now, he was not overt about his faith in the business. He did not, even though everybody knew he was a Christian, it was not about that, but he ran a business that was just done right, and God blessed it. And when I started in that business, I was about 9 years old. One of the things Dad believed in very strongly was, one, start them young and teach them everything about the business, and number two, pay them very little. And he was very successful in both.
That's awesome.
Seriously, I started out cutting grass, painting curbs, picking weeds, and throughout the next 10 years, basically, worked in every department in the company and got out of college. I did wait tables one summer right after college to make sure that I wanted to go back to the family business, make sure I wasn't being drawn somewhere else.
Sure.
But I couldn't wait to get back. So I started right off the bat in sales, went into finance. And the next step for me was to run through a couple of different positions and then run a store. Well, as God had it in plan, I actually skipped a couple of those steps because something happened and put me in charge of a dealership in Rock Hill at 23 years old.
Wow.
So 25, 30 employees at the time. It was a Volkswagen and Mazda store. Mm-hmm. And anyway, ran that business for about 3 years before moving back to Georgia. And for the next 20 years, from 97 till the end of 17, my position in LaGrange was president of a couple of two and then three dealerships there, about 120 employees. We represented Honda, Ford and Lincoln, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep and Ram.
You had them all.
Well, I think we had them all. There are other franchises I hear, but
yeah.
for my mindset, those were the ones. It's either a Dodge or a Ford truck. I think there's a third somewhere, but I'm not familiar with it.
I don't know what the name is. Yeah.
Can't name it here. Yeah. But so anyway, that started in 97 when I took over those couple of stores. And prior to that, I had been following my dad's example, and I was doing business from a biblical standpoint, but not sharing it, right? Mm-hmm. Not outwardly talking about it. And over the next several years doing that job, I started into a daily Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
Had become convicted that I just wasn't engaging in Scripture on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. I wasn't allowing it to shape me. And when I finally realized that and made the commitment, that was in October of 2000. So I'd been doing this job about 3 years. Within 6 to 12 months, I was so convinced that God had gotten a hold of me and was making me leave the business because I wanted to do more for Him.
Mm.
So at the time, I'm 30 years old.
Yeah.
I'm thinking I've got to resign my job. And I went to my father in 01 and said, I need you to work me out of a job. I don't know what I'm doing next, but my next step, whatever it is probably going to be fewer hours, because in the car business, it was, for me at that time, it was 6 days a week, and it's bell to bell.
Yeah.
I said, I need fewer hours so I can give more time to God. I knew for a fact I was not wired nor designed to be in the church,
to
be an employee in a church, to be in what was called the ministry, and still today, the ministry. So I wanted to do more for God. I knew I had to do that, but I knew I couldn't do it 6 days a week worried about profit and then just give Him on my Sunday.
Oh.
So I start looking for what I'm going to do next. And over a year and a half, still doing this daily reading, God shares with me and shows me through a series of events that my job as president of these, at the time, 75 to 80 employees, later 120, my job was to impact them in such a way as to point them to Him, just to do things overtly, not a bullhorn,
right,
not walking around the dealership preaching, but simply make it known, this is our faith. Make it known, this is the business is based on this faith, and we're not going to be apologetic about it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're not going to require people to believe what we believe, but we're going to go down a path that says, this is a Christian business, and this is what we do. And if you want to be a part of it, we're going to take care of you. But you don't have to believe what we believe.
Mm.
And for the next 15 years, that's what I did. Started in 04, made some changes to the business itself, which were disastrous. I won't spend a lot of time there, but I went to a one-price model in the middle of 04 because in Scripture had seen God hates unequal weights and measures and applied that. It was clear for me that that's where God was leading.
Mm-hmm.
And for the next 15 years, I tried to make that work and was never super successful at that model. But the impact on employees and the purpose for which I was there was to point them to God.
Mm.
And the stories that I could tell around that were just amazing. And I had two younger brothers, both in the business, that were very supportive of this. My dad, who said, you know, I don't know how you combine faith and work. I've always done my business based on my faith,
right,
but I don't combine them at work.
Yeah.
I don't know how to tell you to do that, but he was super supportive of the process,
yeah,
despite some of the disasters that I caused by not doing it quite right. And so I had family support, I had employee support and leadership support. And for the next 15 years, that's the way we did it. I ran into a group called C12 3 years into this path and needed them because they gave me some kind of a roadmap and some structure around what I was thinking. And fast forward to 2017. 2017, I get a phone call from a guy that had been a mentor of mine for about 5 or 6 years. He was the former CEO, and he was the founder of Corporate Chaplains of America, a guy named Mark Kress. And Mark and I had been friends for 5 or 6 years. He had been a mentor of mine, and he calls up and says, listen, my best friend is a guy named Peter Freisler. Peter's got a business in Spartanburg, South Carolina, called Polydeck, and separate from that business, but somewhat related, is a not-for-profit called His Way at Work. And Mark said, basically, Chris, what His Way at Work does is takes coaches into businesses and implements an operating system that is exactly what you're doing in LaGrange, but they're doing it in over, at this point, is 110, 120 different companies that they had done this with. And he said, Peter's looking for a CEO for this organization to scale this not-for-profit, to go more toward a revenue-generating, self-sustaining nonprofit versus a donor-based, and so treat it like a business. And so we want somebody from business, but with the heart for that ministry mindset.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, Will, at the time, my wife and I looked at it, and on paper, I'll just be honest, I did not have on my bucket list work at a nonprofit.
Right.
I was selfishly, and in many ways, I was in a perfect role.
Sure.
I had a lot of perks in that job. I loved that job. I loved the people there. But I also knew that God was doing something. Mm. I didn't know what that was.
Yeah.
But as I pursued the idea of this move, didn't really know how it would happen, but our prayer, my wife and I together, we prayed that he would make it ridiculously clear that this was the next step, so that later down the road when this became hard, I wouldn't look back and wonder, was it a whim?
Right.
Did I just jump off?
Yeah.
In fact, back in 2011, 5 or 6 years prior to this, I had started a blog called Christian Faith at Work, where I'm writing to CEOs to say, you don't have to go into ministry to do what you need to do. Do it right there in the business, right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to get it out to as many people as I can, and here I am about to leave business to go run a ministry.
Right.
And I'm thinking, God, how can you – am I a hypocrite now?
Yeah.
And basically what he shared is, I'm going to be in a platform where I can impact hundreds or thousands of business owners because we can show them exactly how to make it work in the business with a system that operates.
Yeah.
And so obviously because we're here today, my wife and I prayed through that. We made the decision to walk away from the business. My brothers now run that.
Mm.
And we live in South Carolina.
Yeah.
Our kids are in college. One's graduated. We've got a son that's 23. He's in Atlanta working through programming and computer programming. And then I've got twin girls that are seniors in college, rising seniors. Mm. And so my wife and I made the move. We've been here now 2.5 years, and we love it. And God's done some crazy cool things through this.
That's incredible.
So the end of this, I want to turn it back to you because I know you've got some questions. The end of it is I've come out of the mindset that I've got to keep my business separate from my faith.
Yeah.
Then I've come to realize, no, I don't. I need to merge the two, and I need to be doing it on a daily basis and impacting people in the business and trying to point them to God. And did that for 15 years, and now I've come to a point for the last 2.5, I get to see other CEOs, the way they're doing it in unique and much better ways than I did, and we're getting to put in place a system that helps them exponentially increase what they're doing.
Yeah.
And so I feel like I'm in a beautiful position right now to be able to see the landscape that's in front of us and to be able not to tell any one individual exactly what they need to do, but just to share experience and share the relationships with bringing these hosts, these guests into our podcast, and hopefully point some of these listeners to a place where they can have exponential impact also, that internal ROI.
Yeah, it's amazing. And the key is an operating system.
Yeah.
You know, because first you need to have the heart for it and realize that I, as a business leader, I, as a CEO, should take my faith and bring it to work, to live out my Christian values not to necessarily proselytize or turn anybody into Christians, but say, God has called me to live my faith and to be a disciple and to make disciples and just to live it out in the business place. But then the second thing is you have to have an operating system.
Yeah.
You have to have
yeah.
a process.
That's right.
Without proper planning, you're going to fail.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you have to do that before the crisis hits for your employees. Yeah. So, yeah, you've been able to see some amazing stories. Let's go back and rewind just a little bit
sure.
to when, from the dealer days.
Mm-hmm.
What were some of the stories, success stories that you saw as you were, you know, putting that process in place to bring your faith into the workplace?
I'll give you an example. So we had a young man that was in the cleanup department, mm-hmm. and that is a tough job. I've done that job. In fact, until I was in the CEO role for 5 or 6 years, I had more experience washing cars than selling them, right? So this young man was in the cleanup department and had some challenges, physical challenges, and just did not have an easy life, but a great, great heart, huge heart. And he worked hard. And one winter, one of the things we decided to do leading up to that was to do a clothes drive for jackets and blankets to give to a local shelter. So there was a local women and children's homeless shelter, and we did the blanket and coat drive for them. And so we pulled all these coats and blankets from employees and from customers, pulled them all together, and then this young man from cleanup, we'll call him Joe, Joe went and took the coats and blankets over to this ministry. Now, he gets there and he physically sees children, young children, homeless in this shelter, and his heart is just broken. Now, this is a guy, this entry level, making entry level money, and he's got a giving heart. And he comes back to me and he says, how in the world are there children that are homeless? And I told him, I said, Joe, various circumstances cause it. It's a terrible thing, but this ministry does a good job. And I'm talking through it with him. And he says, what do they do for Christmas? Now, this is September, right? What do they do for Christmas? I said, well, I would guess. And I'm thinking very simple answers. You know, they probably have a party. They probably get the children some gifts from donations, that kind of thing. But I really don't know, Joe. And he said, I think we ought to do something. Now, hit pause for a second. For the last several years, during the summers, I'd say summer from March to September, maybe into October, we would do a car wash fundraiser 2 to 3 times a month on Saturdays in a side parking lot in the dealership. So we would have, let's say a local church youth group wants to raise money. They would approach us because the word got out about our program. We would vet what their purposes were for the money. It wasn't just for a party for the kids. It was something they were doing mission-minded.
Right.
And then we would set up a full-blown car wash with all the equipment. We'd have one or two employees supervising. They would bring the labor, the youth, to come in, wash cars. And two things would happen. One, all the donations to wash the cars would be paid for by the people getting their car washed to this organization. So they got donations then, but they also tallied their cars washed, and however many cars they washed that day, we would give them $10 a car as a donation. So my mindset starting into that was, I've got people as a business owner coming to me all the time, can you give our organization some money? And the easiest thing to do is to write a check.
Sure.
And my mind was, how do we do something that's more involved, that gets the people that are asking for the money involved, especially when it's around youth? And that's most of the programs we were seeing. How do we teach them that they can put elbow grease in and get money out? How can we get the public involved? How can we get the word out about these organizations? So all these things come together in this car wash, and we would have 2 to 3 a month, and they may raise, you know, $1,000, $1,500 total. So go back to Joe. Joe says, I think we ought to do something for this women and children's shelter. And I said, okay, what are you thinking? He said, I think we ought to do a car wash. I'm going to confess that was not my mindset, number one. We're in September. We're done. We've scheduled them out, and that's it. Maybe we had one or two in October, but it gets awfully cold. And I said, secondly, I said, first, Joe, it's, you know, we're already scheduled out for the season, and it would probably be next spring. But the bigger problem is, they're the ones that provide the labor. And I just don't see these young children and mothers coming out to wash cars. It's usually, you know, youth groups, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I said, so who would do the washing? He said, I'll get employees to volunteer.
Mm.
I said, well, this ought to be fun. In my head, again, Will, I am downplaying it.
Yeah.
Even though I'm supposed to have this beautiful mindset of we're going to do ministry
right.
work,
yeah.
I'm negative here in this situation. And I said, tell me what you mean, Joe. He goes, I'll get 25 people to come volunteer. I said, volunteer their Saturday off that they don't normally get, and you're going to have them come wash cars. He said, I'll get 25. I said, tell you what, you come back in with 25 names, and we'll talk more. And I'm thinking, there's no way.
Mm.
An hour later, he's got 25 names. Now,
wow.
Joe Strong.
Yeah.
I don't know how many twisted arms, torn rotator cuffs there are, but he's got 25 names. And so, literally, I said, well, it's cold. He said, we can do it the Saturday after Thanksgiving. Mm. Lots of traffic, people being out for yeah. Black Friday. Do you know how cold it's going to be? I said, all right, Joe, we'll do it. And just to show you I back you, I'll be one of the volunteers. I'll be out there with you. And I volunteered my little brother as well. And so literally we get out there and there was 25, 26 of us. And we washed
wow.
cars. And we raised, not only did we raise about $1,300, but we got a truckload full of toys for these kids.
Wow.
Because Joe promoted the whole thing. Mm. He did every bit of it and ran it.
Yeah.
Here's my point in the whole deal. I can individually go out, write a check today for $1,300 and give to that shelter. I can go to Walmart and fill a truckload full of toys, probably another $500-$600,
yeah.
and go take it over to them tomorrow.
Yeah.
I have the ability, had it as a CEO of the business, to just go and do that.
Right.
But what kind of an impact am I having when I empower a cleanup guy to run this whole deal? And it's his idea. And yeah. his idea comes because it's the culture that we're creating, right?
Yeah.
So out of that culture, he has the idea. He's empowered to do it. He gets volunteers. There were probably 30 to 40 people outside of the shelter and outside of the customers who came in for their cars to be washed. They were impacted by this one idea, this one Joe, because of the culture we had set up.
Yeah.
So I can go and do something as a CEO, but when I do it through, it's no different than God saying, I can go and do something, but I want to use you.
Yeah.
Because when I use you, I can multiply.
100%. Yeah, and that the key word to that whole thing is empowerment.
Yes.
You know, empowering employees to do the work that they feel called to do.
Exactly.
You know, and seeing the need that they see that you didn't see. Is the key to the success of it. And I think, honestly, that's the secret sauce for what His Way at Work does.
It is.
It's creating a system and a process so that employees can manage the way that the company cares and gives, you know, with oversight, obviously, from the leadership
sure.
and the CEO. I mean,
and accountability.
Boundaries. Yeah, there's boundaries that are set.
Yeah.
There's dollars that are allocated. And then it's up to the employees to figure out, you know, how does it work?
Exactly.
And, you know, what to do with it. So fast forwarding to His Way at Work, I alluded to the secret sauce.
Sure.
Tell a little bit about what that is and how that works.
Yeah. So even more, much more evolved than where we were in the business when I was doing it, His Way at Work came out of Peter Freisler at Polydeck and his initial caring team structure. But the idea is this. You first of all, start with a clear mission, vision, core values. That
yeah.
comes from God to the heart of the CEO and onto paper, right? Yeah. And the leadership team's involved. And then from that leadership team comes a strategy, just like you'd have a marketing strategy or a finance strategy, inventory strategy. You've now got a caring strategy. And the strategy for caring is defined, one, who are the stakeholders?
Mm.
Employees, their families, community.
Yeah.
And community can be broken down, customers, vendors, suppliers, actual community, the city you're in, state, nation, globe.
Sure.
But the idea is who are the stakeholders that we're going to target with our business and the caring through our business. Number two is what kind of needs are we going to meet? Are we going to meet physical needs, emotional needs, spiritual needs?
Mm.
What are we going to do there? And then let's take those stakeholders and those needs and let's strategically plan how we're going to do that. But the secret sauce you're referring to is the next step, which is the caring team. And that team is made up of entry-level employees for the most part, maybe a supervisor one or two levels up scattered in among the team. But the team of entry-level employees, there's a caring team leader that is typically from some form of leadership, not executive leadership. The whole point is you get a team of people who are employees in the company, not leaders in the company.
Yeah.
They are empowered. They're given a charge. Your team's charge is to love on and care for your fellow employees based on the way the business calls it, you know, maybe in a way that honors God. It may be to point others to God. And the people on the team don't even have to be believers,
right.
Okay? But they can agree that if we're going to care for and love on fellow employees, that's a good thing,
right? Yeah.
You get that entry-level team. You give them the charge, and you give them a budget. And their budget is their budget. They have check-writing authority on that money. And the CEO or owner lets go of that money, not without accountability, because this caring team then decides how are we going to spend it, tracks how they spend it, tracks the results, measures it all, and brings it back to leadership as a report that says, here's what's going on with your caring budget. Here are the results. And that team, so many different ways it benefits you. Number one, the team is sets of hands and feet, not just one pair of each. So the CEO is no longer trying to do the ministry of the business by him or herself.
Yeah.
He or she has a team of people. Number two, they are ground level.
Mm-hmm.
A CEO that believes that he or she knows the needs of the employees better than the employees themselves is mistaken.
It's true.
They have needs that we don't hear about, know about. We can imagine, but there are some we can't even imagine.
Yeah.
And so you've got employee team that is on the ground listening, ear to the ground. They know what the needs are, and they'll bring it up, even when the particular employee in need might not bring it up themselves.
Yeah.
That team does all the tracking, does all the moving. They're empowered. What do you think happens to a team of employees who are typically entry-level, never have been given a dollar from anybody else in their lives to be managed by them, right?
Yeah.
Suddenly, they've got a significant amount of money, and it doesn't even matter how much it is. To them, it's going to be more significant.
Yeah.
And the CEO or owner has given them money, given them a charge that says, you're accountable for how you spend it. Most CEOs think, well, they'll just blow it. They're going to give it as quick as they can.
Yeah, yeah.
And the truth is, in most cases, we have to prompt them and push them because they're tougher on their fellow employees than you might be.
Yeah.
But they're accountable to it.
Yeah.
And when they get that empowerment, they realize the CEO has given me money, given me an opportunity, they engage in their job better.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, it's not what we preach. It's not a prosperity gospel, but God's way works. And when you're loving on and caring for people, business metrics improve.
Yeah. Exactly.
So that's the secret sauce we're talking about. And then the final step in this is the accountability and making sure it's an ongoing, continuous improvement, reporting the metrics, scoring yourself out each year, making sure you're seeing growth and that kind of thing.
Yeah. And it's giving back to the employees and giving back to your community and empowering your employees and creating a system that gives them agency and gives them dollars and gives them a way to make it all work.
Yeah.
That doesn't do anything but help your bottom line.
That's right.
You know, and CEOs, they're supposed to look for the bottom line. They're supposed to make sure that, you know, everything is you know, in place so that the company survives. We get that. But then that mission, you know, if you can do the mission that God gives a CEO of living out the gospel, you know, in your daily life, if you do it right, you can see a lot of success.
Exactly. And and I want to pause for a second. I know. So my job is CEO at His Way at Work. That's what I do. That's what I'm excited about. That's my mission. That's my job.
Yeah.
But this podcast is not, how do we get a bunch of people to sign up for His Way at Work?
Right? Exactly. Yep.
So I want to make sure we back up on that and clarify the real purpose of this. And you started out with that at the beginning. But the purpose of this podcast is just to get them doing something.
Yes.
Right? Now, my strong recommendation is an operating system or a strategy, not just an ad hoc policy that says when needs pop up, we'll try to hit them with dollars, but an actual strategy on how to do it. And we believe that we've got a really good way to do it, but there are many different ways to skin that cat.
Yep.
The biggest thing we want to communicate is it's on you as the owner or the business leader to leverage that business and your influence in whatever shape or form it is for eternal return.
Yeah. We say create a system, start. You know, it doesn't have to be the His Way It Works system. If it works for you, great. But if it doesn't, then find the one that works. You know,
absolutely.
Every business
and we'd
is
love
different.
To help, but I mean, frankly, if everybody showed up tomorrow and said we need help, if every one of them did, we couldn't do it. Right?
Yeah. So yeah. Yeah, and we want this podcast to be inspirational. You
exactly.
know, we want it to be to know that it's possible, that it can happen.
And we're bringing guests in that are His Way at Work companies, yeah. and we're bringing in some that are not.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
We're gonna show a good breadth yeah. of the opportunities and the possibilities when you start down this path.
Yeah, and just get inspired, you yeah. know. And I can't wait to get this thing released, to get these first episodes released. We got yeah. some great guests. We have yeah. Peter, who's a powerhouse and
yeah.
Just an exciting guy. He's all in, and I love that about him. We have David Martin, who's going to be just a great interview, I'm sure. Mark yeah. White, who's another dealer.
Yeah. So
owner
so
like
look
you.
At some of these occupations. So one is the CEO of a group of medical practices.
Yeah.
Another owns a car dealership. Another we'll talk to has home construction company in Texas.
Yeah.
Right? Another is an actual caring team leader in a business that's actually doing this stuff. So yeah. we're going to cover all aspects.
It's true.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it really, really will be. It's just going to be a great journey. It's going to be yeah. A fantastic time, and I'm really looking forward to traveling it with you.
Yeah.
So for everybody who's listened this far, thank you so much. Really appreciate you checking in, and you know, I think that the best is yet to come. If you even halfway like this episode, just wait till we actually.
Yeah, it's going to get a lot better when there's an actual guest that's worth listening to.
Yeah, exactly. So, they say the first one's your worst one, and then it only gets better from there. But I you know, from my standpoint as someone who started three businesses and has always just tried to bring God into every business I've created, meeting up with His Way at Work and learning about how that works and that there's even possible,
yeah.
which is mind blowing. And getting to know Chris, it's just been fantastic. And I'm just beyond thrilled to be a part
Same
of this
year.
And on the ride with
Same
you. So
year.
It'll be great. But thanks everybody for listening in. Be sure to check in the for the next episodes. They're going to be fantastic. And just so you know, we have this as a podcast, but we also have it as a live stream video. So we're going to be live streaming on Facebook as well as on podcasts. So any podcasts platforms you listen to, we're going to be there. We'll be everywhere. But if you do happen to want to see us do this thing live, we'll be doing it on Facebook as well. So until then, thanks so much, and we'll see you next one.